Touch Ministries, Atlanta.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Tuesday. Thank you for joining us, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast, and we do count it a privilege for you to tune in and listen as we talk about the Word of God. And right now we are talking about deliverance. God is our deliverer. And, you know, we sing some songs at our church that I really enjoy that talk about that. And I am so thankful that He is our deliverer and He sets us free. Today we want to thank Advanced Christian Training Schools. They meet in our church tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. There are still plenty of seats available in their class. And if you are interested in checking that out, you can reach them at 633-0432. 633-0432. They're free video Bible training classes, and they cover a wide array of topics and a number of teachers. Some of the most frequent ones of late have been A.R. Bernard and some others. But anyway, if you've got any further questions about that, show up tonight in our fellowship hall, 6 to 9 p.m., and enlighten yourself and equip your spirit to be a better servant of the Most High God. So thank you to Advanced Christian Training Schools. We do want to invite you out to our vintage service tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. We have, last Wednesday was just a wonderful, wonderful service. We were in Isaiah, the 31st chapter, and we are looking to the Holy One of Israel. We're looking to God for our victory. We're not looking to trust in the resources of man. One of the things I'd shared last week is that God does not recall His word. His word has gone out. He's not changed His mind. There was not a defect in it. And then we prayed at the end for God to bring victory and deliverance in several situations. And the last part of the chapter talks about the fire of God burning in the presence of His covenant people, right in the heart of Jerusalem. And so we were praying, God, would you fan into flames? Would you help us to fan into flames our passion for you and your presence in our midst? So I pray that if your walk with God is struggling right now, that God would just breathe upon that, and that He would fan your passion, your zeal for Him into an ever-increasing intensity. Because you don't want to look back and say, you know, my greatest expression of passion for Jesus was when I first got saved. But as I went along, my devotions have had me going through the Old Testament here over the past several months, and been talking about kings who started off well, but they didn't finish well. I not only want to start well, I do want to finish well. So come be a part of that. And then on Wednesday nights, our boys ministry, our girls ministry has been doing very, very well. Last Wednesday, we hit an attendance record. We broke through a barrier between our two services, and we are very excited about what God is doing. We serve food, free food, 6 p.m., from 6 to 6:30, and then our classes start. We have a joint service, praise and worship service, for about 15 minutes. Then we divide up into our classes, and those are done by about 7:45. Last week in boys ministry, we'd spent about 2 weeks making self-styled parachutes, And we weighted those down with some water balloons and see who's, we did a test to see whose water balloon was the most, or whose parachute was the most accurate, as well as which one stayed afloat the longest. And the kids were all excited about that. Winner of each category got some candy. And I was the one that was launching the parachutes from the top of the roof. And there were three extra water balloons in the bottom of the pail when I got up there. And so we decided to see how well those would float after all the parachutes were down. The kids didn't know that one was coming. And whoops, those didn't float so well, and they may have accidentally got just a little bit on the wet side. I do have a mischievous side. I like to have fun. So let's get to the Word of God. If you'd like to join us, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, or 6:30, we'd love to have you be a part of that. We're going to go into the book of Acts today. We're going to be talking about deliverance, and we are going to begin in Acts, the 7th chapter, verse number 22. Acts, the 7th chapter, verse number 22. And it said, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deed. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed, and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting, and tried to reconcile them, saying, 'Men, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another?' But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?' Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, 'I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, 'Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, Who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. So today we're going to look at that. First of all, I want to talk to you about Moses, because if you remember, when Moses has an encounter with God in the wilderness, and God tells him that he's going to send him back, Moses says, "But you've got the wrong guy, because I'm not a very good speaker." I want to show you what the Holy Spirit inspired to be written in the book of Acts, as Stephen was giving this message, this sermon that he was presenting. And it says here, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds." A lot of times we sell ourselves short of what God sees is the potential inside of us. You may not think that you are very skilled at something, but God sees greater potential in you. You see, a lot of people go through life and they are looking for the finished product. When we were looking for a house initially, you know, many, many years ago, a lot of people go looking for the house that's got, you know, the perfect paint, the perfect design, the perfect colors, the perfect cabinets, the perfect bathroom, the perfect kitchen, the perfect everything, the well-manicured lawn. They wanted everything to be immaculate. When my wife and I went out looking for a house, we were not looking for perfection. We were looking for potential. God is not looking for perfect people. He is looking for people who will allow him to make them into more than they have ever been, more than they ever dreamed they could be, and more than the world sees as possible in them. So the thing is you and I can never become what God wants us to be as long as we put ourselves in a box and limit us to what we think we are incapable of doing. There's a couple of different strategies on strengths and weaknesses. One says that if you have a weakness that you need to work on developing, you need to focus almost all of your energy upon that weakness and cause that to be a strength. Now, there was a piano player, and he noticed that his ring fingers were the fingers that he struggled the most with when he was playing the piano. He was a maestro. He just was a master pianist. And he spent all of that time trying to develop the ring finger, and by the time that he got it developed, he had lost the beauty that he was able to play with because he spent so much time focusing on his weakness. He spent so much time focusing on his weakness that he lost the distinction that made him him. So there's another philosophy, and it says, completely ignore your weaknesses and focus on what you do well. Do what you do well, and then find other people to do what you are incapable of doing. And so when it comes to a leadership style, that is what I try and do. So, you know, if we're going to talk about achievement, I want to encourage you, find what you do well and do that, and then surround yourself with people who are better at what you're inadequate at. But when it comes to your spiritual walk, I want to encourage you, do not neglect either one. Don't neglect either one. Focus on your strength so that God can achieve in you something more than you ever could have been. But also, focus on those things that you think are your weaknesses and say, God, I know this. Because this is what God asked Moses back in the book of Exodus. Who made man's mouth? When Moses was focusing on the weakness of his speech, God said, who made your mouth? The answer is God did. And he says, do you think that if I made your mouth that I cannot equip your mouth to accomplish the purpose that I need to accomplish through it when I send you to Pharaoh? And so Moses just kept on, and God basically says, fine, use Aaron. Use your brother. Let him speak for you. But in the New Testament, Aaron is not mentioned as a powerful spokesperson. Moses is. And so I want to encourage you, say, God, you know, I want to thank you for my natural giftings, but I believe that your supernatural empowerment can also help me in areas where I may not be as strong as I could be. God, I believe that you can take this Oklahoma boy's mouth and speak the words of truth through it, words of power, so that your glorious, majestic voice of power and truth is heard in Brevard County. So, I just wanted to share that with you. Gideon was another one. He was a brave guy, and he was threshing wheat behind a wine press, if I remember right. And an angel comes up and it says, "Oh, mighty man of valor." And I just kind of picture Gideon looking around. Who are you talking about? You know, and Gideon begins to make excuses. I'm from the smallest tribe. I'm from the smallest clan of that tribe. My father's house is the least in that clan of that tribe, and I'm just his son. What can I possibly do? And God recognized in Gideon potential that Gideon didn't know was there. I want you to know today that God believes in you. God believes in you. And so do not limit yourself, but say, God, would you equip me? If I don't have the words to say, would you give me the words by the Holy Spirit that I can speak eternal life? Last Wednesday was so exciting because there was a person in our church, and we were having a conversation with them afterwards, and they had stepped out and began a conversation with someone. They didn't even know this person. and began a conversation with them, and was going exactly opposite of what their natural tendencies were. And how this conversation came about was, I came up to them after the service and I said, I just want to say thank you. I so appreciate what you did tonight. And they began to explain, I have no idea what took place. That's not the way that I normally operate. But and they said, I was telling somebody, I have no idea what just happened there. That was absolutely amazing. I want you to know that God can use you and I as agents of deliverance, because that's what we're going to be talking about with Moses here in the book of Acts. It says that he was raised in his father's house for 3 months. His mother was actually his nurse for that period of time. And then he was returned to Pharaoh's daughter, who trained him in the wisdom of the Egyptians. And then it says, now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed. I want to ask you, how long has it been since you took a walk through our community? I want to challenge you here in the month of October to begin to do this. I want you to walk throughout your neighborhood, through your community, maybe around your office, and just ask God to begin to reveal needs in your life. Maybe it's someone who's going through a very difficult season. Maybe it is someone who needs salvation. Ask God to open your eyes so that you can see what other people are going through. You see, we have a tremendous ability to know what we are going through, but sometimes we are blinded to what others are going through. So I just challenge you, begin to walk, visit people, talk with people. You would be amazed at the number of times that people will tell you the things that they are really struggling with in their life right now. A couple of weeks ago, my son and I and another person had lunch with one another. We were at this restaurant, and I always like to ask the waiter or the waitress, is there anything that we can pray for you about today? Because we're getting ready to pray for our food, and we'd love to pray for your need. And our waitress on that day, a waitress that I had seen before, but I don't think that they had ever been at the table that I ate at. She said, yes, I just finished my degree, and I'm trying to get a job in a certain field, the field that I studied, and every job wants experience, and I need the job so that I can get the experience. And so we prayed, and then my son, a little over a week ago, he sends me a text message after he left the house, and he said, hey, by the way, that girl got the job. And that is just one thing. You know, it's a very simple thing. If you just begin to walk, when Abraham, it said that he walked, that God would give him every place where the sole of his foot would tread. I don't believe that that was just him taking a walk and ignoring the people. I believe that it was a walk where he began to see the needs in the community, and he began to interact with people, and he began to become aware of needs. And as he walked, he began to take dominion over that. So I encourage you, in the month of October, just say, God, would you show me a situation? Now, I'm going to point out to you here something that Moses didn't do that I would encourage you to do. And it says here, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him. Okay? So as he walked out there, he saw some things that weren't right. He saw some injustice. He saw some oppression. He saw suffering. And he just took matters right into his own hands. The first thing that I want to tell you is take those matters to the Lord in prayer. Talk to God about your neighbor. Talk to God about what they are going through. Talk to God about the injustice. And then allow God to open the door so that you can communicate the gospel. When we take matters into our own hands without talking to God, without asking God's wisdom, without asking for God's timing, we are going to make the matters worse instead of better. Okay? Moses literally had to flee Egypt because he took matters into his own hands. One of the key things that I really believe are keys to ministry is this: do I have the authority and the jurisdiction to deal with a situation? Do I have the ability, or am I treading in somebody else's territory? Now, I will tell you, I'm not going to step or to stand by and watch while someone is beating their wife. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to watch while somebody, I'm not going to stand there and twiddle my thumbs while somebody shoots and kills somebody. I'm not going to do that. There, I believe we do have a jurisdiction that comes from God that says we need to be concerned about what is going on with our brother and sister. Now, am I going to do that without, a little bit of concern for my safety? Probably not. I'm probably going to step that, but you know, I do speak from a little bit of authority when I say this, that when there was a guy trying to hit his girlfriend with a beer bottle, I stepped in to stop that. That was over in Orlando. I didn't know either one of them, but I'm just not going to sit there and watch somebody beat their wife. That's not going to happen on my watch. Somebody last Wednesday said, you know, I think I could take you. And you know, I think that, you know, if we got into a little bit of a contest there, that, you know, if I put you down, you know, you might just say, I think I'll stay down. And I just looked at him and I said, probably not. Probably not, because I just really don't like to lose. And you know, I'm just not that type. Now I'm not going to do anything in hostility or anything like that. I mean, it wasn't an argumentative situation. It was a lighthearted conversation. So I don't want you to think there was any dissension or strife or anything like that. It was just one of those things. When I'm going into a fight, I'm a bit like David, and that is this. I've seen some victories in the past, and it's just given me confidence for any victory or any battles that I face today. And when it comes to fighting Goliath, I will tell you this. If you take out the giant in the army, if you take out the biggest foe, a lot of those other foes, they're not even going to stick around to watch the fight. They are going to just go ahead. You know, when Jesus came and he delivered that man from the demons that called themselves Legion, they didn't stick around. They were like, said, let's just get out of this region for a while. I just believe, hey, you might as well take on the biggest one. If the odds are against you, you know, go down swinging. So, but don't take matters into your own hands until you have made it a matter of prayer. Even when it comes to battle, David said, you know, when should I engage? Should I engage this enemy? And God said, yes. And he said, when should I engage this enemy? And God said, when you hear this sound, then you will know that it is time. There was another battle, and it required a different strategy. A lot of times we are like chefs in the kitchen when it comes to our Christianity. We want the same recipe to turn out the same way each and every time. But God is a creative God. He is looking to grow our faith. He is looking to increase our trust in Him. And so not every time is He going to deliver us the same way. He's going to show Himself mighty. He's going to say, you know what? I did it in the mountains last time. I'll do it in the valleys this time. I'll do it on the plains the next time. I did it with a word this time. I'll do it with mud. I'll just speak a word on the Sabbath. It doesn't matter to God what the process. He just wants God to be glorified. In fact, He wants God to be glorified, not the formula to be glorified. So I do encourage you, do not take matters into your own hands, because it makes matters worse. And it says in verse number 25, for he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. Deliverance will not come. First of all, Moses makes this thing. He assumes, he supposes. He acted, and his actions were motivated by the thought that when his brethren saw him act, that they would realize that God was wanting to deliver them. Moses was 40 years premature in God's timetable. 40 years. That's a long time. And so he even though God was going to use him, he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand. God was going to deliver them by his hand, but 40 years from now. 40 years from now. So I want to encourage you, when it comes to timing, for those who are listening, do not get out of God's timing. That is called inordinate affection. You know, when we get things out of God's timing, it is out of order, and therefore it is chaos. And God is not the author of confusion or chaos. It takes his Spirit brooding over chaos in order for him to bring something orderly and beautiful out of that circumstance and that situation. But the problem was that in order for people to be delivered, they've got to go along with the process. And what it said here was that the people did not understand. Moses thought they would understand. Every week I preach the word of God, and I think that Brevard County is going to understand the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the mercy, the forgiveness, the love, the compassion, the holiness, the worthiness. Every week I preach the redemptive word of God, that he wants to walk in covenant with us. And I suppose that they will understand. And each week I leave with the realization that, well, if it didn't happen this week, maybe it will happen next week. The people, Moses thought they would understand, but in reality, they didn't. Let's pray that God changes that in our community, shall we? Father, I just pray right now. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to be more effective than what we ever dreamed. God, I pray that you would supernaturally gift us, Lord, the way that you did Moses' mouth. Lord, make us men and women who are powerful in word and in deed. God, I pray that that we would take a walk in our community to see what you could do. And Lord, that you would use us to bring deliverance. Lord, for those who do not understand, open the eyes of their heart so that they can see more than they've ever seen. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.